When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Generation Bowl, the fountain of truth. The fountain of truth about what? Well, the fountain of truth about aging. And there is one truth about aging. And that is, you're going to add some years to your life. Otherwise, guess what? You're not aging. And today we're going to talk very seriously, but also very practically with, I would say, the number one thought leader in the world of caregiving. And when we say caregiving, don't only think about somebody with a hugely long chronic disease like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. There are many levels of caregiving, although continuing care for chronic diseases is certainly one of them. Now, if you have been thinking about aging, if you've been listening to podcasts like mine, you cannot escape this issue. Because as Rosalind Carter said, everybody is either already a caregiver, will need a caregiver, or has been a caregiver. And that's just the case. We do not have the money to fund government-subsidized caregivers for everybody. And so it's a family matter, it's an economic matter, it's a government matter, and of course it's a very emotional matter. And as one of the original founders of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, I could also tell you that it's a legislative and legal matter. And all of these things come to bear in the thinking of one person. And her name is Joy Laverty. I've known her for decades. Maybe I shouldn't say that anymore, but it is absolutely true, and I'm proud of it. She's the author of a book that has been called the best book in the field. And believe me, there are lots of competition here. It's called Who Will Take Care of Me When I'm Old? She is also the author of The Complete Elder Care Planner. The American Medical Association says that her latest book is the best book we've ever seen. With 30 years experience as also a media representative, you may actually know her. Good Morning America, CBS, CNN, Headline News, ABC News. I can go on and on. And she's an interesting background because she's also a representative of a variety of different, let's say, age tech and age-oriented businesses, companies that you know. And so she sees clouds, we might say, from both sides, from the point of view of an industry and from the point of view of an individual. So nobody really brings those two points of view or perspectives together to give you the practical advice that Joy can do. So thank you so much for being with us today, Joy.
It is a pleasure, Adrienne.
Now, let's start, not from the beginning, but from the beginning of your focus on caregiving, because you're always focused on issues of aging, but it wasn't always caregiving. And this became riveting to you and a big mission in your life. Give us a little bit of the origin story. And has things changed so much in your view today?
Just about everything has changed. So let's go back to 1966. I was a freshman in high school, and I was volunteering to go to the nursing home with Sister Dorothy. I went to an all-girls Catholic high school. And in my experience, right then and there, when we walked into the nursing home, was little beknownst to me what I would be doing for the rest of my life. The contrast between what I saw and what I was going home to on Thanksgiving morning was the difference between alive and dead.
Yep.
And I said to myself, something's wrong, but I'm only 14 years old. It became my life's mission to find out who were these people? How did they end up alone on a holiday? Where were their family members? And how did they get into this mess in the first place? And that became the premise for my first book, The Complete Elder Care Planner. Because what was missing, Adrienne, is people in the family were not talking to each other.
Now, let's take a look at that for a minute. I'm going to throw in the legal side of it. I can't tell you how many cases I could describe where mom or dad goes into a nursing home facility and it's all about who's going to inherit the money.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that directly. I can also tell you about the resentment that one sister, usually the daughter, because in those days, and I'm going to ask you about that, things devolved on the daughter. as the caregiver. And his son would fly in once a year, and he was the grand, the favorite child. So the resentments and so on. And I'm not surprised that people weren't talking to each other. But I'm also wondering if they were just scared. They didn't know what was happening. Today, we kind of expect it. We don't like it, but we expect it. Has that changed? Has the expectations of aging and what it means to have chronic care changed among the people, the consumers?
One of the most interesting, yes, and everything has changed, because when we don't talk about money, which is really at the forefront of what drives a lot of this shift, when we don't talk about money, we stand to lose as family members. So we're going to bring it up in the hopes that everything that the resources of the family can go toward the people who need the help. But then this means that the onus won't be on me to drain my bank account. Now, add 30 more years, because this is what's happening over the turn of the century, is when everybody started to live to 70, to 80, to 90, to 100 years old.
Yes.
And now financing 30 more years is the thought of everybody. And so afraid of not talking about money is almost like saying afraid that they're going to be around too long. We really have to get real about financing these long, long years and what that means for the entire family, not just our elders.
Now, you know, when it comes to that kind of financial planning, and we'll be talking about emotional planning as well, when it comes to financial planning, people today are still planning for what they call retirement. And retirement has changed. One big way, as you just said, is the number of years you're in retirement. We all know that Social Security, when it was enacted, the average age was 68. People would collect for 3 years. Today, as you said, it's 78.9, 80, and that's the average. The more middle class, more affluent, they're going to make it to 100. So we have one issue. Retirement planning often does not include elder care planning. So let's start with your first book. When they take a look at the complete elder care planner, what are you telling people to do different from simply retirement planning, which is get as much tax-free money socked away as you can? There's another element to it through the complete elder care planner.
What's missing in retirement planning is planning for a quality of life no matter what happens. So as we get older, if we anticipate that we are going to be doing life with a chronic condition, that shouldn't be the end of the world. That shouldn't be when we just lay down and say, I'm done. Because people are being diagnosed with dementia. They are being diagnosed with all kinds of chronic conditions, and they're not through living. So retirement planning has this big hole in it, as far as I'm concerned, about remaining a vital human being with purpose while living with a chronic condition. That's hugely missing. Financial planners just talk about money. Where's the quality of life? Yeah.
But I'm going to give them a break, because I've been in the world of financial planning. When you start to talk about that, the client doesn't want to listen. And that's one of your major contributions, I think, to the world. You help people listen and pay attention to it. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit about who will take care of me when I'm old. Not only the contents of the new book, but my question is also about solo aging. I had a chance to speak to Gloria Steinem not long ago. She was 85 at the time. And I asked her about ageism. She says, Adrian, there's no such thing as ageism. Everything is womb politics. Well, it's true that women will live longer than men and need to be taken care of without their spouse for longer. So we're going to talk about that in the context of the larger question, who will take care of me when I'm old? Don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy.
appropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bowl, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about aging. Please go to our website, my name, very simple, adrianaberg.com, and you'll find a list of all of our events. You'll find the archives of 6 years of these terrific podcasts. And of course, please go to Apple and Spotify and our YouTube channel and follow us, friend us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram. Yeah, I'm woke. I got it. So there are many, many ways for us to connect. And I hope you will do so. And if you have a guest or a topic that you think is important to you, simply go to adrianberg.com. You'll see contact up there in the menu. And give me a shout out. Tell me what topics and what you would like to talk about. Well, in doing that, you made it very easy for me because Joy Laverty is with us today. And she is the grand dame of caregiving. Caregiving is an issue that has so many parts. It's a lot more than making sure that you pick a place that has the nice chandelier and smells good for mom and dad. There's huge levels. One of them is that many people have to face a chronic issue by themselves. And they may have to do that at a time when they feel disempowered. So Joy's latest book, Who Will Take Care of Me When I'm Old, is available at Amazon, as you would suspect. If you want it from your bookstore, insist that they carry it. But you can easily go to Amazon and get it. And you can also go to elderindustries.com. And you'll learn all about Joy because she's also a wonderful speaker. You may want her for your groups, for your organizations. It's hard to get enough of Joy. She's terrific. So let's, though, delve into this issue. Joy, I actually have a friend who has had MS for many decades. And it is now becoming the fact that she's bedridden with care. She was the Commissioner of Aging, the Assistant Commissioner on Aging for the City of New York. And she talks about this all the time. It is very difficult to be alone and answer the question, who will take care of me when I'm old? Now, you delve into this in a lot of ways. So let's hear some of your advice, some of the things you cover in the book.
Well, you know, Adrienne, I'm Italian. And the Italians have this culture, and it is a culture of people being together, whether we're eating and whether we're living together. The answer to one of the questions about aging solo is where you live matters. It's that simple. When you live alone, you live an isolated, possible, lonely existence where you're a prisoner of your four walls. When you live among others, whether they come into the house and live with you or you go to them, that's the way that I was raised, and that's the way the elders in my life have survived successfully and been cared for all their lives. Well, if somebody wants to walk away from this conversation with one thought, it is that where you live matters.
Now let's look at that from the point of view of the senior residents as an industry, elderindustries.com, right? So let's
It's elder industry, one industry.
One, singular. Yeah. She's only in one industry. I mean, I gave her a lot of industries.
Thank you.
She's very prolific, so I figure she must be in a multiple industry. So it's elderindustry.com.
But let's
look at that particular industry, senior residential industry. Where has that changed? I will tell you that one of the worst things in my life is that my mom didn't go to an assisted living community, and I did not have the ability to persuade her to go. And as a result, she died really alone. We were on vacation. And it was horrific, including a morgue and everything else you could think of, and too soon. I will also say that the friend I mentioned will not go. She's horrified of going into a community. And she'd rather stay in her own four walls, as you say. That's a big issue. Now, is there advice, other than, ordinary advice to help people for family members.
Sure. When I say where you live matters, why does everybody just go to senior living or adult living and these places that have a lot of people in them? It could even be a concept of home sharing, bringing someone into the home, or maybe several people. If so many people have these big houses with 2-3 bedrooms, even more, and a basement, And there is room for people, as long as the zoning allows it, to have people come to us and not have to move. So it isn't just the community lifestyle, which is not for everybody, but even living in your own home, but having people around your home. So the village concept, for example, that's another popular concept that is sprouting up. But the idea
Tell us a little bit more about the village concept. I don't know everyone knows that.
Where you live is where you stay, and then you become a member of something called the village. And the village is an opportunity to be social, but also a place where you could get services like rides to the doctor or go to the museum together and shopping. It's social, highly social. But you get to stay in your own home and you could have regular visitors. So one of the things that's really important is to look at the age of your friends, because if we're hanging out with people who are the same age as we are, eventually they may not be able to visit us or they may move away. So a continuous stream of people who are younger than us might be more advantageous to never being alone. That's certainly been the case for the elders in my family and also friends that I know who were never alone because their friends were a continuous stream of younger people. But it didn't happen by accident. They were quite outgoing elders who continuously looked for these kinds of friendships. You know, Adrian, friends take a lot of work.
Yes, they sure do.
It doesn't happen by magic. One of the other things I say is be how what kind of a friend are you being to your friends? We can't take them for granted at all.
You know, a Harvard study, I think it's Harvard, could have been Yale, did say that you actually live 2.5 years longer if you have at least 6 friends. And my question is, what does that friendship mean? What they really mean is 6 close relationships, people that you can rely on and can rely on you, not somebody that's just your social media friend or even just your business friend. But when we come back, I'm going to go on a kind of a slippery slope for me, Joy. Intergenerationalism is a wonderful thing. I try to cultivate it in everything I do and in volunteering particularly. But I live in a place where almost everybody is in an over 55 community, deliberately, an age-based world, right? And so I question, I have questioned the legality of it, putting a lot of money on the table because I'm not a big friend to age-based communities. And yet I'm beginning to see their value as well. Most of it, just what you say, because it helps people meet each other more easily, but it does not foster intergenerationalism. I'm really interested in your take on this. We'll be right back.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. The fountain of truth about what? Well, the fountain of truth about aging, and you can no longer separate the issues of aging and caregiving. Before we go back to Joy Laverty, and I do want to talk to you with her about the inside story on over 55 communities, I do want to do a little bit of housekeeping. Please do go to our YouTube channel, Adrian Berg channel. We are Generation Bold, and you will see our latest 90-minute event called 3 Keys to Successful Aging, Age Fearlessly and Joyfully. Today, we really are aging joyfully because we have joy with us. And I do want to ask you this. I have this love-hate relationship with the over 55 community. The truth is, Joy, I now live in Palm Springs in a community that looks exactly like it was an over 55 community, but it's not. You don't have to be of a certain age. And occasionally we'll see children or people in their 30s or 40s. And I like it. On the other hand, I know that you have been a representative of over 55 communities. You speak all over the country with regard to these communities, to their residents and their operators. You've got a real inside take. But you're also an intergenerationalist, as I am. So how do you reconcile that, and how should we perhaps decide whether it's right for us or not?
I think everybody knows instinctively whether they get along with people of all generations or whether they prefer the peace and quiet of people who are have lived a long life and they're wise and they have the tolerance for one way of thinking versus another. Everybody pretty much gravitates to where they believe they belong. And if they don't like where they are, if they one day wake up in a 55 plus community or a 65 plus community and they say, it's too quiet, then the community typically gives them opportunities to look at volunteering or working. I myself live in what's known as a NORC. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Naturally occurring retirement community.
Yes. I live in a high rise in downtown Chicago. And every time the elevator opens, there's 50 floors here. Every time the elevator opens, it's either somebody my age, somebody 30 years older, or somebody 30 years younger. And we all act as a community within this little environment. And so there are options. If it's too quiet, if you don't think that that kind of lifestyle is for you, you could either stay put and go out into the neighborhood or just sit back and enjoy it because everybody is responsible for their own happiness. It's not the responsibility of the community. I have always thought that. When we walk into senior living communities, it's our job to say, what will I make of this?
Right.
What is my responsibility here?
Well, I'll give two supports that I actually did. I'm sending everybody to adrianberg.com for this one because we have many blogs there too. I always mention that we archive our shows, but we've got years of blogs. Two of them are about just this, NORCs, naturally occurring retirement communities. And if you would believe it, I lived in one because I lived across from Lincoln Center in New York City in an apartment high rise, and the whole area is called a NORC. And they actually have a sign up that says this is a naturally occurring retirement community. And I worked with the very first one, which was in New York. It's 10 blocks. It's called Penn South. But there's another thing I want to that I wrote about. I have a lot of blogs on this, but I want to throw it to you. And those are intentional communities. Communities where you get together with your friends that are living independently of each other. And usually this happens in your 50s or 60s. And you build your own community. You create a community with a contract where you have to, again, help each other. It's contractual if long-term care is needed. Do you see this burgeoning? You're in Chicago. It's usually in the West. But I'm interested to see in who will take care of me when I'm old, if that's been working.
I do address that in my book. However, it does have a shelf life, just as aging in place does. If you are engaging in a lifestyle with people your own age, eventually you'll need to introduce younger, more able-bodied, mind-bodied people to come into the fold. So don't set the age limit so high that other people who could literally, we can pass the baton, may not be allowed to be there. You see, aging in place has basically got all these pretty bows and ribbons wrapped around it. This is what we're talking about. At some point, aging in place doesn't work unless we have other things in place to make it work. And putting a grab bar in the shower doesn't count.
Everybody should have one. And that's that. They don't even call it aging in place now. They call it universal design.
Right.
And it's something I love very much, actually. And I'm finding younger people care about it because I do some rehabs. It's a hobby of mine. It's not a business, but it's a nice hobby. And I always try to do those kinds of things, the levers and the good lighting and all that. But why wouldn't you? That's very different from the issue of dealing with chronic disease. So exactly. Let's take a look at that now. You started by going with a nun to a particular organization, and you did not like what you saw. When you now go to continuing care, if they call them CCRCs, nursing homes, assisted living at the highest level of care, do you like more what you see, or is it the same old stuff?
Oh, it's not the. It is absolutely not the same old stuff.
I am
delighted to tell you that I have been to nursing homes and assisted living where the residents are in charge. They are putting on programs. People with dementia are teaching others who have dementia how to use the computer. Assisted living has the residents holding workshops, giving lectures. These are the kinds of communities that hire me to speak, to come in here and show the rest of the world what's possible. And it's very exciting. Now, keep in mind that one of the things I tell people as they approach the possibility of living in the community lifestyle is you walk in the door and say, I need a job here. If I move in here, this will be my home. So I would like to contribute. How will you help me contribute to where I live? I'm not going to want to be waited on. And it has just been wonderful. The sponsors that I have are very forward thinkers.
Well, that's what we certainly need. And what you're talking about is the next iteration of what I love. I do a lot of work on how to be a successful volunteer. So those folks are living independently. They don't have any chronic issues. They're very active adults, but they're sick and tired of pickleball. You know, how much can you take an Italian lesson? So they're ready. They're ready to do something in the world, and they may not need to be paid for it. Sometimes that's nice too, but being a very successful volunteer is not so different from what you're talking about. You can also be a successful resident if you take matters into your own hands, and this is what Joy engenders in people. She's a cheerleader for really life engagement, which is what it's all about and what she's really talking about. But when we come back, we will be talking about the money, because a lot of these places that have these terrific features are not on government pay. They're not on Medicaid. Medicare, of course, doesn't cover them because it's a different from a medical issue. And how can you plan both financially and legally through some of the material in the books of the Complete Elder Care Planner and Who Will Take Care of Me When I'm Old for being able to afford and enjoy places that will make a difference as you age? We'll be right back.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da da da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about Aging. And as I age, I have a great difficulty. My great difficulty is I don't want to retire. And all the signs point to the fact that why not? Why not take that leisure? Well, because life purpose is a thing. We talk about life purpose. It is a thing. And it doesn't stop if you have a chronic care problem. And it certainly shouldn't stop if you're the caregiver of somebody with a chronic care problem. And I do want to tell you one more thing about Joy Laverty. I've been giving you her credentials, but I want you to see something. There's a reason for it, not just to tell you how great she is. She's been on the Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS, Time Magazine has quoted her, The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Reuters, Reader's Digest, Family Circle, Psychology Today, Good Housekeeping. Why am I telling you this. And I'm saying this to you, Joy, as well. These are very, very diverse audiences. As a journalist myself, I can tell you that the same people do not read all of those magazines and newspapers. Therefore, the issue of caregiving has got to be a very universal topic, extremely universal. And yet, we have what I still think is age inequality when it comes to your choice of how you get older, particularly if you have chronic care. And that's been a big concern of yours. So who will take care of me when I'm old? You could also change the book to who will pay for it when I'm old. And how do you see this, and how do you help people prepare for that?
Well, okay. So I can't tell you how many times I read an article, right? And it says $6,000 a month for this, $10,000 a month for that. A home aide costs this amount of hour. When we throw money and numbers at people, they go to sleep. It's just human nature. We're not calculating. We understand that when we see those big dollar signs, they don't apply to us because it's too big. It's too overwhelming. So I just always go way back and just say, okay, let's just stop all this number stuff. Let's just ask the question, what is your quality of life as you define it? Let's just start there. Do you have to have an orange for breakfast? Do you need to go to bed in a quiet place at 10 o'clock every night? Do you have a need to ride your bike whenever? And once people begin to define the costs associated with living, all they have to do is think about, what would I want? How do I get what I want in order for me to be happy? Just to be happy, whether I'm well or whether I'm sick. And from there, we talk about, all right, what do you currently have now? Add up your cash. What's it going to take for you to sustain that? I read a very interesting article this morning, and it was about, and I'm not sure if I believe this, but some end-of-life experts were talking about when people planned too far in advance for end-of-life care, they usually didn't get what they wanted. But then bottom lining the article, it said, so you need a surrogate, you need an agent. Well, we all know that.
Right.
So the same happens for if we start saving money for something we don't want, which is paying for care, we're going to get off track. In fact, we might downright say, forget about it. It's never going to happen to me. But if we just say, in the next coming years, how could I sustain my quality of life for just those times? And as we get more comfortable about inching toward the future, we might see the value of adding a little more money to our kitty, because maybe we're escalating the need for paying for more expensive things like a wheelchair or a ramp to our house. But if you take somebody and you say, okay, whoa, way far in advance, you're going to be sick. And no one in their right mind will say, yeah, no, I will be. We say, no, I won't. And I don't want to talk about it. Right. So let's just stop that. And let's just talk about what would make you happy in the next couple of years.
Well, you know, you're right. When you talk about planning for disaster or crisis or chronic illness, it's a non-starter. I can tell you that from being a financial advisor. The eyes glaze over and they go on to let's do some college planning or vacation planning or something of that. And that is fine. But what you're asking people to do is transform their thinking from we don't want to be older to we do want to be older. And let's make the best of it, in fact, more than the best of it. It is a sea change. in the way we think about aging. And that's why ageism is a terrible thing. Ageism is not just a prejudice. It's really something that kills people because they so badly don't want to grow older that they don't face the possibility of it being very nice and much better than they ever thought it would be. And then they can plan for it. And even as you say, chronic care issues are better than they can be because there's tremendous advances. I'll put my two cents in. One is technology. We don't have time to talk about that here. One of my favorite things is what would you call your robot? So there's a lot of stuff going on. And in the world of geroscience, there's a lot going on for taking the symptomology of things like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's and getting rid of the symptoms so that people have it, but they don't even feel it. And this is going on. But if you do not accept the fact that one can age with joy, you're not going to plan for it. This is a big message. And Joy Laverty gets it out better than I do because she's getting it out to the residents themselves and their operators. So in the minute we have left, let me ask you that question. You said that there are a lot of visionary people that are your clients and that you see. So what do you think is next in senior residences or in aging in place? Is it technology? Is it psychology? Where do you think the cutting edge is right now?
I see the adult living communities as places for people to work. And I mean make money. And yep. I mean, let's get a business going here and let's do good in the world. The one thing I just can't stand, Adrian, is the reputation that old people have for doing nothing. Well, yep. We've got to change that, and we are going to change that, because if we go into a community situation, we will come in saying, I need to be put to work. Here's how I define it for me. I'm ready to contribute. So all these places, I see them as workplaces.
Yes, and that is absolutely brilliant. And I hear all the time, I can't do this, I can't do that. My favorite phrase is, well, everybody who says it can't be done, get out of the way of the people who are doing it.
I mean, my mom lived with me, and she started out when she first got here. She was like that. Well, I can't do a thing. So little by little, I would put her to work. And by the time she was here for a long time, she was very much an important part of my life. She kept me going while I was out on the road.
Right. So that's for everybody. And we thank you so much. I'm going to send you all to Amazon. To read Who Will Take Care of Me When I'm Old, to read The Complete Elder Care Planner. If you're in the field of aging, to get in touch with Joy at elderindustry.com and to get her into your organization. You cannot do better. And to everybody else, you know what I say, get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I'm